And I'm gonna put this first the first sheet up here. Can anybody read that? I will, if you can't read it, I will say what's in the blanks too. So for those who have, but that's as good as you're going to get it, I think. All right, so beginning of the lesson, it says definition. We're looking at the word, the definition of Sidkenu, which is the term used in the name. And if you can't, I'll spell it for, well, it's spelled right there on the sheet. That the first blank is Sidkenu, is derived from the word Sidesk. And it means straight or right. Now, the word Sidkenu, it can't really be adequately translated by any English word, but it receives its meaning from Sidak, which speaks of God's dwellings with men under the idea of righteousness, justification, and acquittal. Now, we looked briefly at the term justification last week, the differences between justification and sanctification. Justification is something that's done for us. We can't justify ourselves. We have no power to give us that justification to be justified before the Lord. That comes through Christ, which we'll talk about here in this lesson. Sanctification is something that's done in us, whether it's the positional sanctification of being saved, where God does that to us and gives us that sanctification, or it's the progressive sanctification of separating ourselves unto God more and more each day. And that's the Christian life, and that's what the Lord demands. He demanded from His people to come close, come out from among them and be separate. And if you want to be a good Christian, if you want to be sanctified in that sense of the term, it's something you have to do. But that's progressive sanctification, not positional. Now, justification is something different. It's not something that's done in us. It's something that's done for us. We can't earn that on our own. Again, we can't earn salvation. So we see here righteousness, and it says in the very next paragraph, Jehovah M. Kadesh is what we talked about, the last name we talked about. He demands separation from sin and separation unto Himself. Now, that is the term M. Kadesh, is sanctification and separation. He demands that from us. But that's not what this name necessarily means that we're talking about this week. That's the differences. The next blank, Sidek, is also used as the full weight or measure toward God. Full weight or measure toward God in the spiritual sense. This root word, Sidek here, is used 1,000 times in the scripture. It comes to us as right, righteous, righteousness, just, justify, and declared innocent. All those different terms are terms used in the Bible, where this word tzedek is translated in the Bible over 1,000 times, of all these different terms of what it means. Not only is it righteousness and justification and acquittal, but it's also used to describe declared innocent or weigh like a judge weighs and balances, and we look at we call her Lady Justice. Justice is something that a judge is supposed to, in a court of law, is supposed to provide. And how a judge does that is he weighs the different circumstances, and he's supposed to provide a just decision on the case. And that's what Christ is. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is that just judge, and He is righteous. He doesn't just possess righteousness. It's not just something that He has, but there's something that He is. You can't separate that from God. And God is righteousness, and He is the source of righteousness. He is the source of this justice. There is no righteousness. There is no justice. There's nothing without. There's none of that without Christ. We as humans are tainted, and that's why so often judges and court of laws can be corrupted, because God's not presiding over those courts, but they're humans that are, and they can be corrupted because they're not a source of righteousness. Thus the Lord our righteousness indicates a standard by which all things are judged or declared, a balance, so to speak. And it's got some verses that you can look up. Now, again, these are a little, my sheets are a little off than those. So I'm probably going to get lost again. Good, okay. So this is the name Lord of Righteousness, indicates a standard by which all things are judged and declared, a balance, so to speak. So everything is judged by the standard, which is Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness whereby everything else is put up against. And that's why as Christians we don't measure our righteousness or our Christianity by other Christians or by other people around us, because that's not a source of righteousness. That's why when we look and we try to assess where we are in a Christian life, we need to look at Christ and what he is, and that's where we measure ourselves against. And we find that when we do that, we find ourselves, it doesn't matter how I come to church every week and this person doesn't, or I go out soul winning or visiting and this person doesn't, so I must be a better Christian. When we compare ourselves to Christ in the true righteousness and the standard by which we should judge, you know, we all fall short, and we stop looking at everybody else, and we tend to focus more on ourselves when we measure against the true measuring stick, which is the Lord. Everybody, does anybody need me to go back? Any blanks need to be filled in? One more paragraph before. All right, righteousness is the standard, again, is the standard, God is the standard, and God is righteousness. The children of Judah were found without righteousness or right standing before God. They were weighed in the balance and found wanting. We see that I'm pretty sure there was verses on that last. Yes, in the last paragraph there, Job. In fact, let me read that one. Where's my Bible? I have that one marked here. Job 31:6. He's talking about this righteousness, about the fact. That righteousness is used as weighing in the balances and a measuring stick to measure against. And it says, verse 6, let me be weighed in even balance, that God may know my integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after mine eyes, if any blot have cleaved to my hands. Well, what's going on here is Job's friends are there saying, you know, you must have done something wrong, and that's why you're getting this punishment. And Job says here, listen, God's a just God. God is a righteous God. If there's something wrong, let me be weighed. Let me be measured against that righteousness of God. And if there's something wrong, then show me what it is. And we see that Job knew here that God was righteous, and everything that he did, you know, was just. And he was telling his friends here, listen, if I've done something wrong, let's measure it against what God said. And we'll see, because he is the one that makes the true judgments. So righteousness, again, righteousness is the standard. And God is righteous. The children of Israel were found without righteousness or right standing. And then there's an illustration here. If you look, if you remember Daniel, Daniel Nebuchadnezzar had, and it was, I believe it was, I don't know if it was son or his grandson, Belshazzar, I believe it was his name. Anyways, he was having a feast, and all Israel was in captivity. He was having a feast, you know, using the instruments of the temple and all these things to desecrate it pretty much, and doing whatever he wanted. And there was a hand that came out and wrote on the wall, and Daniel came and interpreted it. And the saying on the wall was "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin," and translated. And when Daniel translated it, it was pretty much saying, you know, you've been weighed, you've been found lacking, and you're going to be destroyed. It was God had used his perfect righteousness and measured this kingdom and what they were doing and said, listen, you don't measure up, you're going to be destroyed. And this is just, and that's what he explained to them. It says the background when Jeremiah spake, when Jeremiah spoke this prophecy, the kingdom of Judah was about to fall. The land of Judah was full of idolatry, oppression, violence, and political revolution. If Israel had been in captivity for 100 years, and yet Judah seemed to have learned nothing from God's judgment upon Israel. Now God has passed judgment on Judah, and the time for repentance has passed. Judah has found no place for forgiveness, nor has she sought for corruption and godliness and wickedness prevail. Judah has forsaken Jehovah and Kadesh. None of these conditions, Jeremiah reveals the prophecy of the word of God. So it was word spoken in prophecy. We see that Israel had forsaken Jehovah and Kadesh. It had forsaken the sanctification. It had forsaken the separation. And they didn't seek after that. And because of his name Jehovah Tsidkenu, something had to be done. There had to be a punishment. There had to be justification in this that Judah had forsaken the sanctification that they were supposed to be growing towards. So that's why you can't separate parts of God. You can't just take, I'll take Jehovah Rapha, or I'll take Jehovah Jireh, or I'll take these different names, but Jehovah M Kadesh, or I believe that God can heal, but I don't really need to be sanctified. Or I believe that God can provide, but I'm about this justification thing, I'm not sure. All these names are just describe different aspects of God, but each one of these names is God, and you can't separate the names of God. You can't separate his attributes. That's what he is in one. And you see, as you study them out, and as you've been studying them, they all work perfectly together. The Israelites had forsaken it. They had forsaken the sanctification that the Lord had provided, and because of that, we see that they were punished and they were sent in captivity. All men by nature are unrighteous, and they are unable to obtain righteousness because their deeds are evil. There's some verses there, but again, probably the most well-known verses in Romans. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible is very clear, and if you go out, if you witness to someone, that's the essential part of witnessing to someone. If they don't understand that they're unrighteous, if they don't understand that without Christ they're lost, then why would they need to get saved? If you can earn salvation by going to church, or if you can earn that righteousness, if you can obtain that righteousness anywhere else but through Christ, well, then there's not only one way. I mean, there's another way to do it. But that's why you can't. That's why righteousness is only obtained through Christ. Righteousness is only obtained through Jehovah because there's only one way to salvation. And if you don't explain that and you don't make that clear in the salvation, your person's not going to get saved. But I think when you pointed out, I mean, there's really not, I mean, I've witnessed a lot of people, and okay, it happens sometimes, but if someone's truly honest, they're gonna realize that they do things wrong. And so unrighteousness, all men are by nature unrighteous. God is righteous, and without him there is no righteousness. Again, like I said at the beginning, there's no other way to obtain righteousness without God. You know, and by the way, the only righteousness is God's righteousness. Now, we have a lot of righteousness. You know, the Bible says a lot in the Old Testament, the Israelites. They did, back before they had kings and the judges would come and go. And the Bible would say they would live right for a while, and then they all did what was right in their own eyes. So we have our own righteousness. We feel this righteousness, our self-righteousness sometimes. And we think, well, I know what's right. I believe, I feel this is right. And we sometimes are drawn to that rather than going to Christ's righteousness, but there is no true righteousness other than the righteousness of God. And that's where religions and cults and all these other false doctrines come in, and they try to provide a different type of righteousness, a different source of righteousness, and they all fall short. And they all lead to destruction. They all lead to unhappiness. And there's no true righteousness but through Christ. Jehovah, are we on the next one here? Jehovah is perfect righteousness. Did I read this one yet? No, I'm on number two here. Jehovah Tzedek, a right one, as El Tzedek, a righteous God, there is none to compare him with. Tzedek, righteous and right is he. His righteousness is everlasting. You can look these scriptures up later if you want. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Jehovah is perfect righteousness. He's the source and he's the standard by which it's measured by. The scale of the balance, the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and judgment. And there's only a few words on that one, so I think everybody got that. All right, the contrast. The contrast is evidence of the foundation of biblical truth. Man falls short, misses the mark, is found wanting. In other words, man does not possess, nor can he manufacture, purchase, or acquire righteousness outside the only source of righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu. So again, like we talked about, there's no way to, you can't manufacture that. There's no way to obtain it outside of Christ. And all our other efforts are vain, and it says time and time and time again in the Bible, works aren't going to do it for you. Living right is not going to get you that justification. It's not going to get you, when you stand before God one day, just because you lived right, lived good, or you gave a bunch of money to charities, or you went to church every day, and of your own accord, it's not going to justify you in the sight of God, because he needs that perfect righteousness, and that is only obtained through Christ and what he did on the cross. When men see the standard of righteousness, they in turn see their own unrighteousness. And again, that goes back to witnessing to someone. You have to present them with God's righteousness in the Bible for people to see their unrighteousness. The Bible is called a schoolmaster, and I think it talks about this later on. Yeah, right there. Illustration. New Testament example of law is a schoolmaster. Galatians 3:29. I'm actually going to read starting in verse 24. Says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. So the law is a schoolmaster. We're supposed to try. If you keep the law, if you don't murder someone, you probably won't get thrown in jail or executed. If you don't commit adultery, you're probably not going to lose your marriage and have your children go back. I mean, the law is there. I mean, we follow the law because when we follow the law, things go better for us. You know, you have rules in your home. As growing up in a family, I have rules in my home I had to follow. But just because I didn't follow the rules doesn't mean I was kicked out onto the street necessarily. I mean, if I didn't take the trash out, you know, I wasn't kicked out on the street. But those were guidelines. Those were schoolmasters that teach us. You know, why did I have to take the garbage out of me? Why did I have to mow the lawn? Why did I have to do all this stuff? I had brothers and sisters. They could have done it. It was should have been somebody else's job. Because those rules, those were schoolmasters to teach me how to live my life. So when I got out from under those rules, I still did what was right because I knew what was right. You know, growing up, when you set up rules in your house as a family or whatever it might be, rules and things, the guidelines to follow in a business, or what's the purpose? Yes, at the beginning we're going to have to follow those rules, and it'll make it easier on us if we follow those rules. We'll be able to get more done and get more accomplished, and we won't have to go through our life getting a spanking every day and getting punished and missing out on things. But what those laws do is the schoolmaster, first of all, to teach us how to live right. But secondly, you know, we're never going to keep those laws. And that's the ultimate schoolmaster of the laws of Christ. Is listen, these are the laws you're supposed to follow. But nobody can follow these laws. So therefore, if we can't keep the laws to go to heaven and be righteous and receive that gift, there's got to be some way to be justified. And the only way to be justified is the righteousness, is Jehovah Sidkenu. That's the only way to be justified. That's the only way to receive that justification is by his righteousness and him imparting that righteousness to us, not by us earning it on our own. So the schoolmaster of the law is to show us. And when we look at Christ, even as Christians, after being saved, like I said before, we don't compare ourselves to other Christians. We don't compare ourselves to those around us, to those in the world. Oh, I'm a good Christian because I've been to church, or I read my Bible, or you know I'm involved in the church, and this person's not, so you know I must be a better Christian than them. And that's not the measuring stick. When we measure ourselves against Christ, we're all found lacking, and we all find areas we need to work on, and we need to go to God for his righteousness. So that's where the law comes in as the schoolmaster, and looking at his righteousness shows our unrighteousness. Jehovah Sidkenu reveals to Judah, to Israel, to the Gentiles, to the church, to every age that God is righteousness. Apart from him, there is no righteousness. And we've hit that quite a bit, so we'll go on. My righteous servant. Now, here in Psalms, talking about Christ and describing him, my righteous servant, he that would make his soul an offering for sin, he whom God deems righteous. So we look, who does God deem as righteous? What human does God deem as righteous? There is none righteous, no, not one. My righteous servant, he's talking about the one who would come and pay the price. His righteous service was Jesus Christ. Righteous servant was Jesus Christ who died on the cross. That was the only righteous. That's the only one who God deems righteous. Judah had turned their back on God, and they despised the provision of redemption. Judah, at this point, you know, they had turned their back on God. They had gone, they had served other gods, and they had gone away from what they were supposed to do, and they turned their back on that source of redemption, and that's why they were punished and sent into the captivity. They despised the provision of redemption as Jehovah Jireh. They despise that aspect of God. Listen, we'll find our provision in something else, in another God. Consequently, because they did that, he couldn't be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Without Jehovah Nisi, their banner, they were defeated at every turn. Refusing to sanctify themselves, Jehovah Emkadesh, their sanctifier, they became exceedingly corrupt. Forsaking Jehovah Shalom, their peace was divided amongst themselves and defeated. But Judah is promised that one day, the righteousness of God will restore them. They shall be turned again to God, and he shall be their righteousness. This branch, this king, this one who shall be their righteousness is revealed as a suffering servant and sanctifier of the Savior. So before Christ came, they, you know, and before we accept Christ as our Savior, you know, when we forsake all these other aspects of God, God can't have communion with us. We need that part of God, the righteousness of God to impart that justification to us. All right. Last handout here. Does everybody get that one? Anybody need any other blanks? All right. So, let's look at a couple aspects of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, and what he's called. Some, and most of these, I believe almost all of these are actually quotes of the verses that the reference is there. So you can look in your Bible after and compare these, but these are pretty much just excerpts of verses in the Bible about the suffering servant, the sacrificial Savior. The Holy One and the Just or Righteous, he's called in Acts 3:14. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, those are all parts of Jesus Christ, because Christ is Lord. Christ is God. And that part of him, righteousness, he's got to have. Why is it that God couldn't just forgive the world? Why is it that there's got to be a payment? Why is it that, God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. He's God filled with grace. Why can't he just have, you know, just say, okay, you know what, you all did wrong. I know you all are sincere, and there's some people out there who, you know, okay, they, they've never accepted me as Christ, they've never accepted my gift, but you know, they try to do the best they can, they live right. Why can't you just get past that? Well, the reason for that is because that's part of him. That just as much as he's a graceful God, just as much as he's a merciful God, is a God who provides and is a loving God, he is a righteous God. And that part of him cannot be taken away. That you can't just brush it on the rug. That's why Christ died on the cross. And that's why it's not God's fault that men go to hell. You know, it's not, you know, so many times, you know, I work with, and I'm sure many of you do too, or many of you family members, you work with people. How many times have you heard, well, if God is such a great God, why would he allow such terrible things to happen? You know, why would he allow children to be abused? Why would he allow, the AIDS spreading in the African countries that are just destroying innocent people, innocent children? Why would he allow all this stuff if he was such a merciful and such a loving God? You know, how can a God, how can a supreme being allow such death and destruction? Well, don't blame God. It's not God's fault. It's man's fault, and it's the sin. He provides the way of escape. He provides that justification. He provides that righteousness. And he, that's part of him, and he can't accept our unrighteousness. But because of that, he sacrificed his son. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross, to give us access to Christ, to God's righteousness. And it's a free gift. I mean, so don't blame God for the wrong things, the bad things that happen in this world, and people die and go to hell. It's not God's fault. He's done everything that he can do to provide that with us to still keep in what he is. I mean, he couldn't just give it out. He couldn't just forgive everyone and wipe it on the rug, because he's got to have that righteousness. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ was made the righteousness of God. For Christ also hath suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God. Christ, again, if you witness to someone, that's another important part that you get across. Listen, we can't earn it on our own. Christ came and died on the cross. Who is the only person, who is the only man who never sinned, who lived a perfect life? Jesus. Yet he was sacrificed and crucified for our sin. And he was the only one that could make that payment, and he did. And the just was made unjust so we could receive that gift of life and that sanctification. Not the justification and the sanctification, the positional sanctification. Judah has no righteousness of her own. We see this last paragraph here. Judah has no righteousness of her own. I guess it's not the last one. Israel had sent out on a journey of obtaining their own righteousness. Again, back in the Old Testament, they did what was right in their own eyes. They did what was right in their own eyes. How many times does it say it? They were looking, they were searching for their own righteousness. We'll do it our way. We'll figure out the best way to do it. And they couldn't obtain righteousness on their own. The Gentiles had falsely professed that they were their own righteousness outside the law and outside of faith in Jehovah Tsidkenu. Today, the church proclaims itself to be righteous in works and worship, wealth, wonders, and self-proclaimed wisdom. You look at all the religions around. Every different religion. I don't care if you pick out any different religion. And they're all based on works. They're all based on you got to do something. You got to live a certain way. Or there are ways you can attain certain things. Religion is not Christianity. Just because you're a religious person doesn't mean you're a Christian. It doesn't mean that you're justified. It doesn't mean that you're righteous. We need to look at what God looks at. And righteousness cannot be attained by how much we put in the offering plate. Righteousness cannot be obtained by how much we witness to other people. Righteousness cannot be obtained by how much we sacrifice. You know, the Bible was in Saul back when he was waiting for Samuel to show up, and he made the sacrifice when he was supposed to wait, but he went ahead and did it, and he thought he was doing a good thing because, you know, God commanded us to sacrifice. But Samuel said to him, listen, to obey is better than a sacrifice. You know, I give money to all kinds of people and I give things, yeah, but are you obeying the commands of God? Are you tithing? Well, are you are you um Are you going out and witnessing? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission, the command of God? Yeah, well, but I gave a whole bunch of, I donated a whole bunch of my time to the church. Okay, it's great. Sacrifice is important. But sacrifice isn't going to earn you that righteousness. So, obedience and accepting the justification that Christ has done, that's what's going to make you righteous. That's what when God looks at you and looks for your name in the book of life, he's going to look at whether you accepted the justification that God provides, not how much you sacrificed, not how much you gave up, to obey in that, accepting that gift of salvation, of justification, is what's going to get you righteousness. And that's it for the, let's see. Let's skip. True righteousness is imputed and imparted to the sinner as he received by faith the one who Calvary became. The sinner has received by faith the one who Calvary became in very deed. There's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Acceptable righteousness that is not attained. Acceptable righteousness is not attained, but obtained in Jehovah Tsidkenu or righteous. So you can't attain it. It's got to be obtained. The difference being attaining is something that you do. Obtained is something that you get. Doesn't. It's nothing on your part. And when we understand that, we can go on, and then we can accept the other parts of God, the sanctification, and growing in Christian life. But you know, you can come. Like I said, you can come. You can do. You can be the perfect Christian that everybody on the outside sees. But if you don't have the righteousness from God, the only source of righteousness, it's all in vain. All your works, all the things that you do, one day in the Bible it says it's going to be burned up. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burned up when Christ tries it out. Because everything that you've done was for your own, trying to obtain righteousness on your own, not through Christ. So don't confuse this with Lord, the Jehovah M. Kadesh, sanctification. That is a part of a Christian life. Justification is to be justified in the sight of God. So when we stand before God, he can accept us into his kingdom, and we've accepted that gift. But that, just because, all right, well, okay then, you know, God, I'll put my trust in God, I'll be saved, and I'll accept that gift, and I'll be justified, and God will give you that justification. But as far as the Christian life, you know, hey, I'm going to heaven, I really don't care. You know, we can't judge whether somebody's saved or not. That's between them and God. But it kind of throws up a red flag if somebody has given you such a great gift, and if somebody has done something that you'd never be able to attain on your own, you'd never be able to get on your own. Without it, you're cursed, and you're on your way to hell, and somebody provides you a way of escape. I have a feeling that you're probably going to feel some sort of thankfulness and want to do something to show your appreciation. So as a Christian, you know, we have that. We want to show our appreciation, and that's where the works come in. And that's where the schoolmaster of the law comes in afterwards, because it'll keep things right in our lives. It'll keep our relationship with God. It'll keep our relationship with our family. It'll keep our relationship with people around us, other Christians. If we follow the schoolmaster, the law, not to obtain righteousness, but because we want to be sanctified to God, then, you know, it will let our life run a little bit smoother as we go. And that's where the difference is. So you can't have one, like I said at the beginning, you can't have one part of God. You can't just have just righteousness. You know, there's too many people out there that don't have the mercy of God, don't have they don't care about anybody else. They can care less. I mean, they come to church and they do what's right and they've been saved, but, you know, I don't know, missionary, another missionary church, or, you know, I'll do what I have to, I'll give my tithe, I'll obey, but they don't sacrifice, they don't give up their time, they're not, you know, going out there to be merciful to those around us, and they kind of forsaken that part of God. God is a complete God, and that's the whole point of studying these different names of God and how he's described in the Bible. Because we're supposed to be Christ-like. And if Christ has all these attributes, we should be working on all these attributes. We should be working on to be sanctified. We should be working on providing for others and being a healer in relationships and all the different names of God that and his aspects. We need to be Christ-like. We need to be continuing trying to improve in each part of our lives as the different names are described. And that's the whole point of these lessons. So, I mean, I know I'm not the teacher or whatever that pastor may be, but these lessons that have been prepared, go back and look through these lessons again and take out the lessons that have already been taught about God. And maybe once every once in a while, just take one of these lessons and look at again at the and review the aspects of God and look at your own life and compare with the one true yardstick that we should compare with, not those around us, not the other Christians that we know, but compare with Jehovah, Sitkanu, where we are in a Christian life. And yes, it will show us that, you know, hey, we got a long way to go. There's a lot I got to do. I'm going to stop worrying about everybody else around me. I'm going to stop worrying about the other people, what they should be doing, because I got so much to work on myself that I don't have time to worry about anybody else. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the righteousness of God. That's the whole point of God tells us, don't compare with other people, compare with me. Because when we do that, we suddenly have no time to worry about anybody else because we have too much to fix in our own lives. And that's the case for everyone. I don't care where you are in your Christian life. We all have a long way to go come even close to what Christ is. So let's stop worrying about those around us and worry about comparing ourselves to Christ and what he's done for us. All right.